Greetings, pilgrims. It's Pastor Bob, coming to you from the broadcasting studios on the second floor now, with a view of Vine Street Christian Church right out the window, in the heart of Arthur, Illinois. It's the House of Peace. Amen. And we are starting a new series today called The Gift of Gratitude. The Gift of Gratitude. I'm so glad you're taking a chance to listen to this, and I hope you give it a chance and stick with it for at least a week and really devote the time you're listening to what you're hearing, which won't be easy all the time, as we all know. But I think it'll really be worthwhile if you do that. Don't want to spend too much time setting it up. You'll kind of get to understand what we're doing in a little bit of a format as we move forward. I want to assure you that being spiritually ready is going to be so important to how we hear these words. And I say that about all kind of spiritual principles, because already in our mind, we have a instinctual worldly view of something that we have been trained to believe in the world, like Jesus, for instance. We all already have a set view of that, or scripture, or spiritual principles like gratitude. What does gratitude really mean, and why is it so important to me in my life of faith? I hope over the course of the next couple few weeks, we can help you along in that kind of inner discussion that's so important in our life of faith. Where does gratitude have a role? So we have the Hildegard von Bingen, Voices of Angels, singing for us in the background. Notice the difference? So lovely. We have the cinnamon cider candle. It's going to take us home, I think, through this series. And yes, double bagged, just for opening day. Kava tea. We go back to the kava. So just a few quick words, and then I'll have the kind of main focus of today. Each day we'll have some comments, a main focus, reading of some sort or something, maybe a song even. And then at least for a while, we're going to close each day with a poem from Mary Oliver. You may or may not be familiar with Mary Oliver, a great American poet of the 20th century. She really owned that century almost in poetry. And if you haven't heard of her, give her a chance. The way we do the poems is we read them through, straight through twice, as in back to back, as I'll finish the first reading of her poem today, I'll pause about 5 seconds, and then I'll read it again. So be sure and stay in that posture of receiving poetry as it's meant to be received. Amen. All right. Let me say first, we discussed gratitude a little bit in the service yesterday. I quoted a neighbor friend of mine who's in some serious health problems right now, Joni Winters. And I was with her yesterday as she was being loaded into the emergency vehicle, and she kind of just keeled over and you could see she was just totally exhausted. And she said these words, "I am so grateful for my faith." Grateful for my faith. Above and beyond anything she could have mentioned there at that time, she brought up the gratefulness she has for her faith. And it always raises the question, have I ever thought of being grateful for my faith? So to begin today, we're going to go to the esteemed Joel Green Dictionary of Scripture and Ethics. I have had classes with Joel, remarkable scholar and teacher, and he has put together a dictionary of different concepts in nouns and verbs of the Bible, and put them in context of our moral life, our ethical life, and why they're so important. And Douglas Sherman kind of wrote this article, so that's inspired some of my comments. I've kind of gone through it and picked out some thoughts. I'll begin by saying, in terms of just your Christian faith, that gratitude is critical to your moral life, to having a moral compass, to having principles that you live by. Gratitude is very important to that. And I think as I read through this, you'll see why. Because that's not something we might think of at first. Is gratitude important to my moral life? Listen, gratitude is a virtue. It's a gift, it means. Gratitude is a virtue that acknowledges Who has given you benefits, gifts, gratefulness, thankfulness? Who has given that to you and understands what that means and how you have received them, so that if someone compliments you to someone else and that other person comes and tells you about it, you not only are grateful, thankful in the way that that comment was expressed, it's a pleasing comment, but you're also grateful for what it means, you see, because what it tells you is that person thought whatever you did was worthy of thanks or gratefulness. And that's really what we how we try to live our life, according to that virtue, you see. So you have the gift of the words themselves, the gift of what they mean, and then that's what drives you to offer reciprocal gifts or services, as is appropriate. So what all that says in semi-academic language is, gratefulness is a two-way street, not a one-way street. Let's take thankfulness, for instance. Thankfulness by itself is a one-way street. I'm thankful for the friendship of my friend Bruce. I'm thankful for that, right? Gratitude is a two-way street. I'm grateful for my friendship to Bruce. I tell him about it. I let him know it. I tell others about it. I express it to him. I let him understand how I feel. I let him understand what that means. And you know what happens? It starts going back and forth. And isn't that what the sign of real friendship is? So in a sense, gratitude becomes the heart of true friendship. And even more, it becomes the heart of true communion with Christ. See how I went from true friendship, which indeed is what you also have with Jesus. And you have it because you've consummated, right, the two-way street, the giving and receiving. You are thankful that Jesus gave his life as a living sacrifice. You're thankful because of the act itself as a sign, right, of extreme gratitude, right, and sacrifice and love, most importantly. You're grateful for that, but you're also grateful for what it means to you. And as you come to understand not only that he sacrificed himself, but as what it means to you, then you don't just become thankful for the cross, you are grateful for the cross. Get that? Not just thankful, but grateful. And that's what changes your heart. Because as we said, gratitude requires a reciprocal response. Got that? So that when you know Jesus sacrificed himself for the world, let's say, you know that, and you are thankful for that in some general kind of religious way, and then you come to understand what that sacrifice means for you specifically. His sacrifice for you, when you understand that, you cannot help but be grateful as you come to understand what it really means. Your freedom. Freedom as a person. Freedom from sin. Freedom to live your true life just as you are. And be exactly fine. Amen? And loved 100% by your Lord and Savior. Just as you are. And therefore, you're motivated. Because that love is overwhelming when you understand it. You are motivated to honor Jesus by loving others the way he loved you. So you pass it on. So in a way, this sense of gratitude is a foundation of the pay it forward principle. You become so grateful for something or someone to understand what it means to you that you then pass it on. That's what we're called to do with Jesus. That's how we're called to live with our friends and love thy neighbors. And that's why gratitude is so, so important in your faith life. I close with this thought, and I've said it before, and then we'll go on to our closing poetry. What if, you know, these are those great spiritual hypotheticals. What if you woke up tomorrow morning And the only things in your life were the things that you gave thanks for before you went to bed last night. How grateful should we be for what we have in our life? We need to be, and here it is, more than thankful, more than just feel thankful that we have people in our life, the blessings we have, the jobs, the hobbies, the friends, the church, more than thankful. We need to be grateful, friends and neighbors. We need to be grateful because we need to respond to that with a love response of our own, which honors that of which we're grateful for. Amen. Well, I hope you enjoyed that. I might encourage you to listen to it again. Let's go on to our poetry for the day from Mary Oliver. So I want you to settle in, change kind of your hearing tone. You're now in just an open listening process and letting words that are going to be sometimes difficult to decipher on their own, let them achieve their deeper meaning for you. This poem is by Mary Oliver, and it's called Snow Geese. Oh, to love what is lovely and will not last. What a task to ask of anything or anyone. Yet it is ours, and not by the century or the year, but by the hours. One fall day I heard above me, and above the sting of the wind, a sound I did not know, and my look shot upward. It was a flock of snow geese, winging it faster than the ones we usually see, and being the color of snow, catching the sun, so they were, in part at least, golden. I held my breath, as we do sometimes, to stop time when something wonderful has touched us, as with a match which is lit and bright, but does not hurt in the common way, but delightfully, as if delight were the most serious thing you ever felt. The geese flew on. I have never seen them again. Maybe I will, someday, somewhere. Maybe I won't. It doesn't matter. What matters is that when I saw them as through the veil, secretly, joyfully, clearly. Oh, to love what is lovely and will not last. What a task to ask of anything or anyone. Yet it is ours, and not by the century or the year, but by the hours. One fall day I heard above me, and above the sting of the wind, a sound I did not know, and my look shot upward. It was a flock of snow geese, winging it faster than the ones we usually see, and being the color of snow, catching the sun, so they were, in part at least, golden. I held my breath, as we do sometimes, to stop time when something wonderful has touched us, as with a match which is lit and bright, but does not hurt in the common way, but delightfully, as if delight were the most serious thing you ever felt. The geese flew on. I have never seen them again. Maybe I will. Someday, somewhere, maybe I won't. It doesn't matter. What matters is that when I saw them as through the veil, secretly, joyfully, clearly. Amen. And hallelujah, amen. I hope you got something from our episode today. It probably went a little longer than usual, but we'll continue to work on that for you. What matters really is the quality of what we put out to you and the quality of how you receive it. And please keep letting me know what you'd like to see or any changes. And until tomorrow, I pray that God blesses your soul and leads you on that path of life throughout the day. Amen.